Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. It's a good day because obviously the world is coming back and so are events. But with that come all the fun and joy of travel plans and room blocks and details. Some of the stuff that, you know, most people go, oh, really? I don't really want to have to deal with that. But it's important that you have some knowledge. And we have two incredible gentlemen here that have all the skinny on what you need to know when it comes to as far as room blocks, contracts, and negotiations, as far as what you need to include. But before I bring them on, let me introduce Marcy Gutenberg with Unfair to Remember by Marcy. Hello, Marcy.
Hi, Keith.
And I know that you said it yourself, like weddings and events are coming back with it, with like, you know, like the floodgates have opened.
Exactly. I'm so excited.
Yeah. And now more than ever, we've learned that you got to pay attention to the contract. It's not like your Apple device. You can't just scroll down and click on it. You better dig in a little bit.
Read.
Right, exactly. And who loves reading more than Brooke Logan Stoner?
The devil's in the details. I'm here detailing.
Oh,
good
my goodness.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Oh, so let me introduce Roberto Cosentino and Michael McGee, the owners of DME Meetings and Incentives. Robert is a managing partner, is a veteran of the banking industry with over 15 years of experience. And in parallel, he was an international professional ballet dancer and later on a choreographer for shows throughout Europe and US. Hello, beautiful. And Michael started his career way.
Yeah, I know. I think I dated him.
86. Ooh. You know, wrinkle. It's cool. Anyway, so, but I love the fact that you began your career in 1986 as a banquet director and worked your way up through the hotels. So you know everything that there is to know about hotels inside and out. I mean, all the way up until when I worked with you at the Hyatt Regency, where you were a director of sales. Were you a director of sales at the Hyatt Regency?
Or? National sales.
Focused on
pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, that's right. So, you know, full disclosure, Michael and I have known each other for a really long time. So there may be some tea that's spilt during this particular show. But
I'm real thirsty.
Oh, no. Brooke's like, I'm real thirsty. All right. So
you're ready, Brooke. You have me at time to close, honey.
So, okay, let's talk about this, because honestly, when people think about room blocks, it is kind of a boring subject. You have to do it. It's like, oh, I know we have to have a room block, but a lot of people just defer to the venue that they're having their ceremony at. Right. But I tell people, don't be that short-sighted. I mean, the ceremony location is a venue, just like if you had gone to a church or other. Look at other hotels around there and look at for different price points. But where does somebody begin? Let's start there. They've decided, oh, we're getting married at the Lowe's. Pulling that out of my butt. All right. But we're getting married at the Lowe's. What next? What do they have to do?
Well, they call us since we're the middle of course.
I'm sorry.
you refer them, you know.
Right.
So the reason why we're the meeting planners for clients is because of our history and our knowledge of contracts with hotels. I used to set the rates at the Hyatt, same with Roberto. So I know how far hotels will go down in their rate and their concessions and offer concessions. So as an example, if I reach out to the Lowe's or any other hotel for a particular bride or groom, they're going to reach out. They're not going to get the rate that I can possibly get or the concessions. Like upgrades to suites, discount on food and beverage, you know, no resort fee, parking fee.
So let me pause you right there, because already you're already sounding like, if I was new to this, I'm already hearing a different language. Okay. I'm already going, what does he mean by incentives? What does he mean by, you know, so I think what are the power tools? Because these are the tools that you use when you're doing the room blocks. A lot of people don't realize that they can negotiate some pieces into the room block that they might not know about. So let's start there. They know that they have to have a room block. They've they've understood other people's room block. They've clicked on the links. They booked their room through the website. They know the basics of a thing. But what are some of the things that they could do, that they could get, that they may not know about? Like, what is the, what is an incentive? Explain to people what an incentive is when it comes to a room block.
An incentive is different than a room block for a social or a corporate piece of business. Incentive trips are done, as we were discussing earlier, for corporations like pharmaceuticals, insurance company, banking, where they have a contest and the top 25 get to go on a trip. I just recently booked a company down at the Cayman Islands, booked out of Tel Aviv, and their top 25 producers are allowed to go. So they're still in their contest. And when the contest is up, those employees get to go on the trip. Now, room blocks, let's take it with bride and groom.
Right.
So the bride calls a hotel and she gets a rate.
Yeah.
$200. She says, oh, can you do a block for my guest?
Right.
It has to be a minimum of 10 rooms for at least one night. Usually hotels are 2 to 3 nights.
Right.
Once that is done, the bride will get a link from the hotel. And that link will go out to all the guests with that particular rate.
Right.
Now, if you get us involved, we contact 20 hotels because we have a search engine that will send out a request for proposal for that bride across the board in any destination.
And I think that's important. It's important to realize that, you know, it's already going to be a little bit of a time consumer reaching out to all these different hotels to find out what the rates are, you know, and you can't trust Google search, because I know a lot of people go onto Google, they click on the map where their hotel is, you know, where their venue is located, and they have all those little prices that come up, you know, when they, I mean, that's what I used to do.
No, it's true. I mean,
very high wire.
Those rates are for individual rooms.
And plus, we have a response within 24, 48
Correct.
Hours with a proposal from different hotel, from different destination.
Correct.
Right.
That being said, there's a lot of time saving for the bride and the groom, you know, to get proposals and different rates and concession, which we're going to explain after.
So, and that's actually where I was going. I didn't mean incentive. I meant concession. So, I really want to, like, you're a bride, and let's say they're not going to hire you, right? They are trying to do this themselves. What do they need to know before they walk into this? What are some of the founding pieces, like what you just said? You know, what are some of the comps? What are some of the things that they could possibly ask for based on the number of rooms that they need?
Yeah. So going back to the minimum of 10 rooms, they would have to talk to a sales manager, not the front desk. The sales manager will give them the rate. When I was at the Hyatt, I would do a few wedding room blocks.
Right.
When I'm on property, when I was on property, I wouldn't give them a discount or concessions for bride and groom. So right off the bat, hotel sales managers are not going to all of a sudden give these upgrades, resort fees, waived concessions.
Right.
So they have to ask, is it possible, can I get a discount rate or at least 10% off the rack rate?
Right.
Can I get any food and beverage discounts? You know, I noticed your parking was $40. Can I get it for $20? You know, that has to be taught to a bride. Not every bride is going to understand that at all. And that's where we come in. And because I understand that they're actually going to get more concessions and a discount on their rooms. You know, once we do an RFP on Cvent, which is the search engine, Roberto and I asked, we want comp upgrades at the same group rate. I can't have the rate over 200, even though they're selling 350 online. I have no resort fee, no parking fee. I ask hotels.
And sometimes, you know, the bride, they don't even know, but hotels, sometimes they give out spa treatment for free, especially
Correct.
For brides. And
even concessions, you know, like that. Correct.
Right.
Or at least a 20, 25% discount. So, and it all depends also from how many room they're going to request, because the bigger is the group, of course, you get more concession. and the concession will be bigger.
So I'm going to actually even go even simpler, because just FYI, if somebody's out there and listening, RFP means request for proposal.
Correct.
Right? So because a lot of people are going, what is an RFP? What does that mean?
Acronyms, you're absolutely right. Not everybody has the acronyms down. Sure.
And now, and in this world that we're talking about, you know, acronyms are everything. I mean, they are, we use acronyms like they're vowels. It's crazy. So the other thing that I wanted to make sure that people understood is that when you're talking, because you mentioned earlier that you would need to then reach out to a sales rep, that is not your catering manager. So if somebody's been building their wedding and they've been dealing with the catering manager, there are times that the catering manager will help negotiate that block, or they've been given a certain amount. But a lot of people need to understand that the hotel is broken into two pieces. There is a catering side and there is a sales side.
Correct.
And they do not meet.
They don't. Even though they cross over, because I need catering for a particular large group. But social catering is different.
I think that's important to tell people, is that, look, just because you're spending $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 at your wedding does not mean that the hotel is automatically going to give you great rates because you're already spending a ton of food. Because they're two totally different departments with two totally different budgets. And so, you know, that's actually one of the things that people walk into a lot of times without realizing. It's like, well, I'm spending so much money. Why wouldn't they want to, you know, work with me on the rate? Well, if you gotta think about it as two separate entities, and what is important for
it's
those two
true.
Entities.
Well, I mean, say a bride's getting married in December, which is, you know, Christmas
prime. Yeah, prime.
So there may not be occupancy over those specific dates, even though she says, "Oh, I need 10 rooms, 15 rooms."
Right.
You know, the rate's going to be, you know, rack rate what you're going to know online. So, again. You know, we can discount it, of course, because we understand. But they're still going to have to ask those questions, or they can ask the sales manager, is there a sister property nearby? Is there somebody that you have a relationship with that I can reach out to if that host hotel that they're having their wedding in is sold out? Or
so what's rack rate? Let's start there. What do you mean when you say rack rate?
A published rate. So if somebody went to Hyatt, Pierce, you know, 66.com, there is a rate published online for any specific date. Now, those rates change depending upon the occupancy of a night. So say Friday night is 90% occupancy, they're going to raise those rates. And the director of revenue goes in every single day and changes those rates. Right. So that's why you look at one rate, and then a week later, it could be $100 off.
Well, and I think that's important for people to understand that in the hotel world, there is a person whose job is to get as much money as humanly possible for every single room in that hotel. Right. There is a formula that is used, and it is like watching Tetris.
They sell it twice on the same night.
It's so true. Right? Then you have hotels.com, booking.com.
Oh, God.
Last-minute hotels where, you know, people use their phones. This is a computer. People are very savvy now. They go on, and they try to get a rate. Now, those, what we call opaques, which is the online booking search engines, are 25% higher than what the rack rate would be. However,
that's interesting.
For the knowledge for a bride, if they in fact call directly and talk to a sales manager and basically be nice and say, I'm having my wedding there, they'll get a discount.
Yeah, they would. Right. All right. So then another big piece, you're like got your 10 rooms, you're at the Lowe's, they hand you the contract, you're reading through it. What is one of the biggest things for people to pay attention to in the contract when it comes to finances? Because there's two different types of room blocks. First, there's a courtesy block, and then there's a contracted block. So people need to understand that a courtesy block means you're not financially obligated at all, right? Oh, yeah. But you're not going to have the same amount of discounts, and you're not going to have some of the perks that come with a paid. Right. But when you're talking about a contracted block, I always tell people the number one thing that you need to look at is attrition. What is your attrition?
Correct.
Explain what is attrition?
Go ahead. Thought I let them talk.
Attrition normally it's like say standard is probably about 20%. That being said, if you have a room block of 10 to make it easy, 10 rooms, you're obligated only to actually pick up 8 rooms, and they will not let you pay extra for the 2 rooms if you don't actually book those 2 rooms. So it's a lot of saving money for the bride, if, especially if she does a contract, because that point, if you have 20 people coming and then 4 of them, they're not showing off, she's not going to be paid for the extra room. So that's a lot of saving, you know,
And it's a forgivable amount. You know, I tell people it's a forgivable amount. Your attrition is a forgivable amount.
It's like an insurance. You have that slipping.
Very Groupon-y.
But you definitely want to make sure it's in there. You definitely want to make sure that you have some attrition, especially if you're a contracted block, because it gives you a little wiggle room.
It really does. And that goes under concessions as well. And, you know, we ask 30%. Are we going to get it? We don't really know. Brides wouldn't know to ask that. If it's a contract, the bride is financially obligated contractually. So if she doesn't pick up those rooms, she's going to get billed for those rooms.
Yep.
On a courtesy block, which I have done many of, what happens is the hotel says, no problem, I'll give you that because occupancy is low over that specific date. But I'm only going to give you that rate until 30 days prior to check-in.
Yes.
That way hotels can make up that revenue that they could potentially lose if they held the rooms up until the day of the event. Where contracted rooms, they're a little safer. They may go down to like 15, 20 days. So their guests would have to make those room reservations within 15, 20 days. They give you a little bit of leeway when you're contracted or financially obligated. Mm-hmm. You still get the link from the hotel. And what I mean by that is once they book, the hotel reservation system gives you a link that says Smith Jones Wedding. That link will take you right to reservations and you can make those reservations underneath that block at that given rate. So it's good to keep track. So if a bride says, how many rooms did I pick up?
Yeah.
The reservations can print that out. You send it to the bride. So that's something they may want to understand that they can do that, that, you know, it protects them.
Yeah, but you know, all of this sounds fairly boring to us. I mean, if I was listening to us on this, I'd be like, "Oh, contracts. But the thing is it's important. It's important because if COVID didn't teach us anything, it taught us to learn how to read these damn contracts from start to finish. Because a lot of people got screwed hardcore because their contract didn't include even a force majeure. I saw a contract that didn't even include a force majeure. Like they were still contractually obligated for those rooms, even though you couldn't go anywhere. Like everybody.
Yeah. So that's very good. So that is very important to have that in the contract, and that's unforeseeable circumstances.
Right.
Well, we make sure that our clients and the hotel are protected.
Right.
So now more than ever, force majeure is important to have it in the contract. So, and what that means is the client would not be financially obligated if there was a flood, if there was a hurricane, anything act of God. Now we add pandemic, unfortunately, war. You know, that way they can get out of their contract, they can do anything they want, and they'll get their deposit back, or they can change their date to a later date and just use that deposit.
Oh my God. See, this is why you need professionals in your life, because I can just imagine a bride is sitting there and she just got through all of the negotiations of the actual wedding contract. And now all of a sudden here comes a salesperson. Hey, you need a room block. La la la. Okay. Come and talk to me for 2 hours. You know,
another concession that would be good for a big wedding and you plan to have, say, 80 rooms, you can always ask the hotel, hey, can I lower my room block 60 days prior?
Correct.
Right.
You know, that way, if you see 60 days prior, you're not having all your family and friends join the and coming to the wedding, you can lower and do not be responsible
financially
for,
obligated. Know. That's true. That's so, true. That's a very
wow. So, Marcy, I know Marcy's been dying to ask a question. I just keep talking about it. But I get her little signal and I'm like, okay.
Help me, Marcy.
So courtesy block was actually on my list of things to discuss. So I'm glad you discussed that. I do want to point out, and I think I'm right on this, but you'll correct me if I'm wrong. Courtesy block will allow people to hold the brooms, not necessarily hold the brooms, but it will allow the guest to book at a reduced rate, but there is no guarantee. Is that correct?
Good question. That guarantee, usually the hotel will hold it 30 days prior.
Right.
That way,
okay.
Most hotels will make up the revenue. Remember, they take the block of rooms, they take it out for the Smith-Jones way. Mm. So when it's a courtesy and they're like, no problem, we're going to give those 30 rooms back to the hotel if you didn't pick up one room. That way it protects the hotel. Remember, client, hotel, you wanted a win-win. And that's where the force majeure comes in. If I could go back for a minute, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Do you have force majeure in your contracts?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Sounds like really fancy soup, and I have to take two.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, it is fairly dry when you talk about that, but there's so many nuances in these contracts.
This is how I got my intro into the hotel world, actually. I was in group reservations. So I was a group reservations coordinator. So I was seeing a lot of, you know, the big room blocks for like, you know, a 900 hotel room, you know, that hotel. So that's why I was asking those questions. But the other question I want to talk about is if you could explain a little bit more to people who are listening what a shoulder date is on both sides, what it does for the client and what it does for the hotel.
Oh, you're talking about 3 days before, 3 days after?
Yes.
Okay.
You mean the pre and post room?
Pre and post date. Yes.
Oh, okay. Because there's another terminology in the business for shoulder dates, which is...
Okay.
In Florida, it would be right after Easter.
Yeah.
September, October. So there are shoulder dates.
That's true.
The low season.
Oh, got you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I understand.
I know that too. They're
okay,
going
to
get
discounts
on those shoulder dates throughout the year, depending upon the destination.
Well, and that's the thing is you got to even know what that is and when they are, because there's some major discounts that can happen as people come that have come from the hotel industry, as most of us have, you know, knowing these kind of insights can save thousands of dollars, you know, for people and a whole lot of extra reduced hassle because, I mean, if you're bored listening to us right now, imagine how sleepy-eyed you're going to get when you actually get this contract and you're just going to sign it and then move on. And then what happens if something doesn't go perfectly right?
Yes.
You have nobody that you can really rely on. So it is important to have somebody come in but at least have some base knowledge like what we're doing right now. Have some base knowledge. I want you to – okay, so this is one of my favorite things that I get from brides all the time. We got a great room block contract going, beautiful rate, love it, amazing. Somebody, one of their girlfriends, usually the maid of honor, not that I'm saying anything about maids of honor, I will get a text saying, I don't understand why, like, I just went on Orbitz and Lowe's has a rate of $210 and ours is $400. Why can't we get that rate for everybody?
Well,
this happens to you.
Yeah, this happened. But basically, third party companies like Orbitz or, you know, Expedia, they only have a certain amount of room they can have that rate. That being said, they probably have like 10 rooms or 8 rooms. So if you are like a group of 20 people for a wedding, you will not ever be able to book on booking.com that particular rate for 20 rooms. You will only be able to book 10 rooms. And sometimes you're not even able to because, of course, only 10 rooms be available. You're not the only one looking for that particular rate. So, and then where I was going back to for the pre and post that you were asking, Marcy, sometimes it's very important to pay attention. They do not add based on availability. Mm-hmm. When they put in the concession list, you want to request same group rate 3 days pre and post no based on availability, because at that point, the hotel can say, hey, I'm 90% occupancy, and that particular date is not available. $200 more.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, it's such That's a small little thing.
Little things that it you is. Need to pay and attention to.
Based on availability. Really I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, no, but based on availability, I love that. And you're like, no, I want to have that that same rate regardless of availability.
Oh, if it's in the contract, and they're going to get
it. You know, for going back to the third-party companies, the Expedia, et cetera.
Right.
It happened to me, you know, with a group. I had a group in one of the hotels, the Hilton Hotel, and we had a great group rate. We had over 150 rooms, and all of a sudden, on Booking.com was 189. So at that point, you in call, obviously, the DM and general manager and discuss over it, because hotel will, you know, give you, and either they shut down the third-party companies, or they will grant you the same rate they have online.
Right.
That 189. So it didn't happen to me. So there is always space for negotiation with your hotel if it's, you know,
a bigger room block.
Yes.
Well, so Roberto or Michael, like, would you liken that to maybe like an airplane seat, where you only have so many seats that are, or rooms that are available at this price, and then it bumps up to the next tier?
Perfect example. Exactly.
Yeah,
that depends on occupancy. If the hotel is running a 95% occupancy over that bride's group, you know, and somebody does orbits, they're going to get a much higher rate. You know, like I said, these are computers. People are savvy. Either the hotel is going to drop the rate to the group rate, and we've had that done. Mm-hmm. But again, it comes from a middleman like us to do that. Brides won't be able to get it if they called their sales manager. It's just not going to happen.
Because it's all about relationship with the hotel.
Exactly.
You know, well, but, director of sales, general manager.
Sure.
I tell people all the time, it's like, you know, look at those things like orbits and these kind of things as advertising. Yeah. Yes, they're going to do a rate that's really incredibly low because they want people to pay attention to that hotel.
And they want
to
fill their hotels.
But
the last minute.
But don't expect that for your general block. It just doesn't happen. They've only given one, two, or three, in some cases, just one. I've seen it where they only had one at that rate at an Orbitz. And it's like, you know, they're doing it for marketing purposes. So don't assume that you're going to be able to get that rate for your room block. It just doesn't exist.
It's very like airline, like you can have unsalted peanuts and would you like a warm towel? Well, your cheeseburger will be on a golden charger.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they used to do those.
I'm hungry. I want that cheeseburger.
Right. They used to do those specials. Right. They used to do those specials where they'd say one way $99, limited availability. And that's kind of the same thing that we're talking about here. It's like, you know, same thing. It's like they want people to notice it. And they, you know, maybe it's an urging to get people to come down to South Florida. You know, there's advertising and marketing campaigns that are happening behind the scenes with all of that as well. So, oh, my God, let's not get into that world.
But people have had a lot of time through this pandemic.
Yeah.
And they're going on their computers and they're like, oh, my God, when should I have my wedding? Look at this. I'm up. You know, that's why they were reaching out to you guys during the pandemic. They're like, I'm going to use this as leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you guys have gone through that.
Oh, gosh. Well, and you know, the thing is that we, and Michael, you're working on a room block for me right now for a December wedding. And some of those hotels that are on South Beach are at $600, $700, $800 a night already. It's crazy.
It really, really is crazy to see because of our search engine reaching out to 20 hotels at one time. And once they're answering, they're all over the map. You got the one hotel offering $800, and then the Shelbourne, I have a relationship with them, is $200.
Right.
So at the end of the day, that's
It's just incredible. It really is incredible. And I do love the fact that you have a system that goes out to multiple hotels. But, oh, and this is where that question comes in. So I was looking at your signature line, and I noticed at the very bottom it said, partner with Preferred Hotels and Resorts, Starwood Hotels, Marriott Hotels, Hilton Worldwide. And what does that mean at the bottom? What does it say? Why do you partner with?
Good question. We basically have a relationship and particular rate with most of this brand hotel.
Right.
And where we are able to receive, you know, particular discount on the published rate. So this is one of the reasons we are also able to get a special rate that is not available to everybody.
Got it. So this is, you have a special relationship with these hotels.
You do.
And allows you to have a better rate than I could get or anybody else could get, because
then there's the list,
right? Then you have the list. But you know, that
we have a corporate account with them, so right. You know, at that point everything is also the concession are higher and we receive more than a normal person, a normal bride would be able to.
Correct. You know. Yeah.
I say that to brides all the time. It's like, look, you're a one-off, right? You're one wedding. I'm going to be the returning person that brings weddings more and more, right? So I'll get a better price point than you will, because I do a lot more events with them. So, you know, there's one reason to have a wedding.
It's true. They want our business, you know.
The only thing is that for brides to use our services, it costs nothing. Because
I know, that's the other thing.
We don't charge.
I don't think people realize that, is that it costs zero to use you.
It's a free service that we offer. So
correct.
It's really, would be silly not to, you know.
It really would be. I mean, that's at the end of the day, I find this crazy because obviously, you know, a wedding planner, you got to pay. Sorry, we're not getting anything on the hotel side. Sorry, guys. But, you know, but your income is coming from the sale of these rooms.
Yes. Correct.
So therefore, you're not having to charge the client.
No.
Correct. Yeah. The hotel pays us.
Yeah.
Because we bring them the business.
Correct.
Yeah. But so not only do you get a much better rate than anybody else, but you're also getting paid by somebody else too. So it's like, what? Okay. I don't even know how that all works. We're not going to get into it because that's a lot of, right? It's a whole lot of messy, and I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what do you think? How should people think about what size their room block should be? That's a question that comes up constantly. It's like, I have 100 people coming in, and I always ask, how many people are coming in from out of town?
Yes.
They're like, oh, I've got 60 people coming in from out of town. Mm-hmm. How do they judge what size room block they really need?
You know what? Start at 10, start at 20, start at a number, and then watch the reservations come in. So if their wedding's next year, and within 3 months, they're already at, you know, half their block, you know, you raise the block.
Right.
Plus, it also depends, you know, you can also say if you have a 20% attrition, back to the attrition.
Right.
You know, you say, okay, I have 100 people coming out of town. I need to sell 80 rooms.
Right.
I can probably do 80 rooms instead to do 100.
Right.
Then being said, I have 16 rooms that I still have leverage on. So, I mean, it all depends, you know, the contract that you have with your hotel. You know?
Well, and then also people need to understand that it's based on total room nights. Yeah. And I think a lot of people forget that too, that the concept of I've got people coming in for multiple nights. My contract is for a specific number of room nights. That's so right. If I have one person that comes in and spends a whole week, well, they just took up seven of your rooms out of your block.
Yeah.
Correct. And they go towards the number of room nights because contractually and financially.
Yeah.
They are responsible for total number of room nights.
That's it. Not total number of rooms. Room nights.
Correct. Yeah. So somebody, especially here in Florida, we're dealing with it right now with one of the weddings, your wedding in December.
Right.
I'm sure that the rooms were available 3 and 3. And the reason why, it's December, it's cold. People are coming in. They're like, you know what? Let's take the kids or just make a week out of it.
Right.
Vacation out of it. So that's another reason, too, that we extend the block.
So when we talk about 3 and 3, you know, and this has happened to me a bunch, and I don't think people really realize how difficult it really is to manage a room block situation. unless you know what you're doing. Because ultimately, I will get a call from somebody that says, oh, our room block is full. And I'm like, that's not possible. We literally just opened it. There's no way our rooms is going to be. And so you call and, you know, I call and they're like, no, but I got plenty of rooms. And I'm like, okay, well, then what day did they try to make a reservation? And they say, oh, they tried to come in on Wednesday. Well, your room block wasn't covered on Wednesday. And so the little reservation person that, you know, at the 800 number, who won't go any further than going, oh, it's telling me no rooms are available. Because it's saying no rooms are available. And so they just assume.
Well, it's like the 800 number reservation people. They don't even know
what it's all about. They don't care. Exactly.
They don't care. They really don't.
That's where the bride, and this is very important for brides when they are calling by themselves or not using us. They have to set that up in their contract. Otherwise, they're going to get that pushback.
Oh, you know, it's horrible.
Like, oh, Wednesday, it's 500. But, you know, during your 3-day block, it's 240. You know, whatever.
And, right.
So that's something they should ask directly to the sales manager.
Well, and I think that's important for them to understand is that if it's not in your contract, the rate could be outrageous pre and post if you don't specifically have it in there.
It's not always $29 each way, honey.
Exactly. and make sure that you've got some space before and after because you will have one or two people that decide they want to come super early or stay a couple extra days. So make sure that it's in that room block that, you know, you at least have one room 3 days before and 3 days after your.
Correct.
You know, especially in Florida.
Especially 100%, especially during the winter. They're not going to come for one or two nights. They're going to
Florida, California. I mean, any, you know, destination that is by the sea, by the ocean, you have to, there's no way around.
So, okay. Past the boring stuff, because I think we've talked room blocks to death. You have another part of your company that is travel.
VME tours.
Tours.
Yes, tours. Okay, when I think tours, I think a bus full of people going to a church, filing out.
All of a sudden, I'm like back on the ranch. Yeah,
right. Explain a little bit about
that. I'm glad you think of that, because you know, like I say in our tagline, we like to interrupt the ordinary, which is typical of
you.
And the extraordinary. Girl interrupted.
Here it comes. Oh, I'm just saying. Here we go. No. But okay, so you've got this. I mean, first of all, I'm surprised that you had, if anything, luxury around you. Let me just say. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry.
Okay, got it. Now that makes sense. I totally
really. I'm from South Jersey.
Yeah. In case we have a booking with them in December, be nice.
Right? Exactly.
I want to meet these people.
Oh, you're gonna love them. They're amazing. Like I said, I've known Michael for a really long time, so we're always a little snarky with each other. But I'm fascinated with this part of your company, this luxury travel. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically, the way we organize tours, first of all, we don't do more than 12, sometimes max 14 people. And for one reason, first of all, we don't like use motor coaches for transfers. So we like to use normally sprinters, you know, with Mercedes and AC, Wi-Fi. So we'll pick you up at the airport once you land. If it's whatever, normally we do most of our tour in Italy, obviously, because I'm from Italy.
Right.
But we did some tours in Germany, in France, in Spain. And what we do, basically, we pick you up. You don't even have to think anything about it. Your name will be on a sign. We'll pick you up at the airport, private transfer to a hotel, which is normally we use 4- and 5-star hotel. Mm-hmm. And we never use hotels that are outside the city center. Because most of the company that I've seen in United States using outside hotel to be a little bit cheaper.
Right.
But then you have to spend money for transfer, either a taxi or an Uber or a metro to go in the city center and be able to, you know, tour the city.
Right.
Had me at luxury. You had me at Mercedes.
Exactly. Plus,
I want my Jerry Springer sign that says "For Summer Run" sign or something.
Oh my God, your Jerry Springer sign. That is awesome. I totally can see that.
Our main concern is not stress you out when you go into a tour. So we're never going to pick you up at the airport in Rome and drive you 5-6 hours because people don't know geography of Italy. They drive you right away to Venice for one night in Venice and then drive back down to Florence.
Correct.
Right.
So what we do, we take you to the hotel. We give you one night free so you can relax. The jet lag, you'll be able to recompose yourself, get all your stuff out, and you spend the first 3 days in the first city of arrival, which can be whatever.
Well, and you know, and obviously this is, if you're going to go to Italy and or do anything that is, you know, especially now we all know more and more that we're all about the experience and you know, how you feel is just as important as where you are.
Right.
You know, exactly. Starting to eat. So I love the idea that you take care of everything. Yes. They're like,
you don't have to do anything. No. You just have to enjoy, honestly. And again, thanks to our meeting company, we have the connection also in Italy with the hotels. And amazing. Because we have partnership with the brand hotel, you know, I can get the same low rate all over the world.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter where it is that you want to go. I mean, I'll be able to get the same rate. Of course, it depends on the destination of the, you know, the category of the hotel, if it's a 4-star, 5-star, or whatever.
Super luxury. Because these are worldwide brands. So brands are all over, you know, all over the world. And and these brands have lots of other subcategories that we might not even know about. Like, Aloft and AC and these other hotels. Or and Marriott.
We have a lot of, you know, partnership with local independent hotel in Italy. For instance, on Lake Como, right? It's so famous, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there are like beautiful mansions. There are people don't even know, but they are like boutique hotels.
Yeah,
right.
So
and you know those because you're from there.
Yes. So yes.
And apparently that sponsorship that by Lowe's that I don't know anything about.
Yeah, well, you know.
Shout out.
Yeah,
Christina, you know, the axe from aisle 9. I'm like, say Lowe's one more time.
So once you get to the destination, which is whatever,
right?
Now we're talking about Italy, for instance, we don't send you to do the Vatican tour by yourself. You have a assigned tour guide recognized by the Vatican,
right,
to know the entire story of the Vatican and all the museum, and you will have your own private tour with that particular person.
Shepherd in a Mercedes.
And, I know, I just love it.
And in case I need some time off.
I managed to have...
Boys, are you ready? Fill it up.
She's so ready. She's like, take me in my Mercedes and take me on.
I want to eat that whole boot. I just want the whole thing.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Can I do like a 2-week like notice from there? Like...
Yeah, I know. Works, right? Yeah, but you know, I mean, we did a couple of private tours when we went to Russia. We did, and I have to say, thank God we did a private tour. We did it in a separate company, not part of the cruise ship, not part, you know, that's a very reputable. And man, the difference in what we got to see and where we got to go was incredible. I mean, there were people that were on that cruise ship that didn't see a tenth of what we saw.
Right.
At the Hermitage and the other places.
Guide, because sometimes you go into museum, you look around, but you don't know where you're even looking. If there is someone that explain you actually what is particular statue or that painting or whatever. I mean, unless it's Mona Lisa, everyone knows it.
Right.
It's true. Even though it might not be the real Mona Lisa, so that's
why not. I agree. You get a lot more out of the experience overall by having a guided tour. I mean, I've done a couple myself. I've gone to Israel. I've gone to Canada, west part of Canada, and I did the guided tours. And I have to say that those were the best experiences I got to feel because I got so much more out of it than had I just gone myself.
Yeah. I just went on a boat.
Do you do cruises too? Did I hear you do cruises? Roberto, I heard that you were on a cruise. Maybe that was it for an incentive meeting.
We basically, I have a couple of clients. They organize charter.
Yeah.
We do charter and we do music team cruises. So I work with 14 different cruises. And which are, they expand from jazz cruise, smooth jazz cruise, rock and romance, flower power, country music.
A whole cruise dedicated to music.
Oh my God. Exactly. As long as you took the Mercedes there, who cares? I mean, get on a dinghy.
Oh my God.
Brooke, you're with me.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You guys, it was amazing. I can't believe 45 minutes went by actually a lot quicker than I anticipated. So I hope that you're going to stick around for After the Veil because that's when we get to have a little bit of fun. Yeah?
Yeah, this is the part where I'm like, I have to go pee, but I do come back. I'm just always saying. I know I can't make a sandwich that fast.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with After the Veil.
I, Ava, wonder if our guests would be here on time.
If we had a custom wedding website
with our ceremony details on it, and I, Taylor, would pick Zola to have and to host our wedding website. Ours even matched our Zola invites. The whole thing was so freaking easy.
Do you think Zola could have made planning your perfect wedding easier?
We do.
We've helped a million couples plan their weddings with free websites, registry, and invitations. Get started for free at Zola.com.
Oh my God, I'm so glad to have you back. Hey, Mike. So all of a sudden, that's one less person. I guess Roberto had enough of us. He's like, bye.
He has a client, yes.
Oh, is that what we're, is that in quotations? Was that a client in quotations?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay, an actual client. Oh my goodness. So first of all, it's been a week. I don't know about y'all, but it has been a week. I mean, the events are coming back so fast. And yes. Oh, my God, I'm barely treading, trying to keep my head above water. And I'm actually going to get to a point where I'm going to have to stop taking clients. And I'm like, I know.
No. Hire somebody.
I know. But still, it's like, it's a little crazy. I mean, I'm kind of on the first side of it. So, I know your business is about to just go crazy.
Yes.
Honestly, I am working full time again.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's crazy how we've just made a full turn.
Next year is going to be unbelievable. The traveling is going to be crazy.
What states still are not allowing U.S. citizens?
In Europe?
Yeah.
It's England, you have to do 5 days of quarantine now.
Yeah.
Also, if you test negative, it doesn't matter.
Right.
and then France as well. Italy, you can go, but it's not suggested because Italy, like France and Spain, they're still like in a partial lockdown.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work to go anywhere unless,
the store. No buffet and boozing in the boot right now.
No, but Canada, you can't go to Canada. You can't go to Mexico. You can't go to, right?
Exactly. Yes. You can go anywhere.
You can go throughout the Caribbean now. Mexico, yes. Cancun, Cozumel, Puerto Rico, Aruba.
All of them.
Curacao. Yeah, you're allowed to do that without quarantining. I don't know why. But
because they need the money. Because let me just say, I am so angry at the fact that cruise ships have not been able to been allowed to cruise. I find that ridiculous.
And now they want to pull out if they don't get to start off again, which is really concerning.
Yeah,
I mean everything else is open. They can allow people to fly.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that basically. For the cruises, when they're charters, it's up to the whoever chartered the ship.
Right.
Like my client, they mandate the vaccine. So if you want to go on a ship with them on a cruise, you have to have the vaccine done.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the CDC, they still did not give an official date for reopening the cruises. It was up 2 weeks ago, was October 31st.
I've got cruises, man. I got cruises over the summer. They need to open up. Yes.
Usually it takes like 5 a year, that poor thing.
I know.
Did you have something like 5 of them booked or something?
I did. I had five cruises booked, and one after the other kept getting canceled. I mean, this has been going on since last March. So the pandemic hit literally 2 weeks before I was going to go on a cruise, and I had the best room. I had that it was on the front of the ship, and the balcony was like 3 times the size of the room. It was awesome. I love,
you know, the bad joke.
You love that. And then of course
the COVID cruise, honey.
Oh God. And they shut it down, and I was, damn it. And I thought, I'm never going to get that room again. Well, lo and behold, that same ship.
The junior captain suite?
Yeah, right. So that same ship, that same room came back open. And I was like, yes. And we got it twice. So we got a a 3-day cruise and a 4-day cruise back to back, right? They got canceled. I don't like cats.
Well, because think about the flight. You're together for 4 hours. And, you know, and we know that airplane, they changed the filter system, whatever they did.
Right.
But, on the cruise ship, I don't know if they did that.
Yeah, but casinos are open.
Yeah, but I know.
Sure. And you know how nasty those people are, you know. But you know, the lady just with her cigarette.
The shit out of that machine.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like this. And I'm,
bingo.
You know. Yeah, bingo. Good luck. But you know, I mean, and casinos are open, and they're nasty.
Honestly. But they say because the, you know, close encounter, 2,000 people, I mean, 3,000 people, depends from the ship.
Yeah.
You know, it can be 6,000 people on the ship.
I'm like, they need to reopen it. Even if they say, look, we can reopen it, but you have to be vaccinated first. Yeah. I am a huge proponent of that. Say, okay, great, open up, but put some rules in place, but let them open up, for God's sakes.
Agreed.
In case Miller needs a vacation, darling.
Oh, I need a vacation. But you know, what we're talking about though is that now they're starting to think about leaving out of Bahamas. So they're like,
it's true. I did hear that the ports are questioning, should we do it out of
Bahamas? A little sneaky.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, they're gonna figure out one way or another to reopen. Yeah.
And somebody's got to watch those big boats.
Well, I'm just saying, and if we have to fly somewhere to get on a cruise, I'll damn well do that. I don't care. Yeah. Little puddle jumper.
Uh-huh. If islands are smart, they're going to make millions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make sure you get chauffeured in the Mercedes first.
Oh, yeah. Look at her. She's like back in the Mercedes.
We're coming on one of our tours to Italy. That's that.
Look at her. Look at her. She's
all the highlights today. See, I knew this stuff that was going to work.
She's so funny. Oh, my God. I mean, well, and imagine trying to be in this industry because you and I left this industry. Well, I left this industry later than you. I mean, I got into the event side of it 4 years I've been doing this, and you were doing both. I know Roberto jumped ship first and was doing and then you were doing both. You were working at night on your own company. But can you imagine being in the event industry when this happened? I mean, I can't even imagine what catering managers and salespeople have been going through for the last year.
So bad for them. I really do.
You just go, holy crap. Because we have lots of friendships still within the hotel industry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like shocked at how good they've done it. I mean, how they've persevered, because there have been some incredible stories of people really overcoming some crazy, crazy restrictions, you know, out of work for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and that are just now
careers. You know, I see a lot of realtors. I see a lot of people who went into IT. I see a lot of people who went into insurance.
Yeah.
And return.
Or this happens. Happy 1 year anniversary this month.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, 1 year anniversary of the show.
I haven't figured out the date yet. I will, but it is April. I do know that.
But you know, that's the thing is, like, you know, it's just crazy to see what people have come up with. And what they've done to survive. But my God, I am I feel a little bad because a lot of people come into Florida because Governor DeSantis, you know, basically said, let everybody open. And so as much as I say, oh, that's horrible, horrible, you know,
that's a Republican.
But we're going to reap the benefits anyway.
I mean, look at spring break. Yes. I mean, all these hotels were 100% occupied.
100% occupied.
With what? We have friends that are the only ones in the office.
Yeah.
And they're doing like 3 to 4 people's jobs. I mean, we have a friend who works at the Renaissance. It's her and the DOS. Nobody in catering. So she's director of catering.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. And 100% sold out.
Friend of mine in Germany, he was called 2 days ago to change the bulb in the elevator because there was no need.
I mean,
who's going to change the oil in the Mercedes?
I know, man. But you know,
someone to do that.
Something needs to be said about some of these hotels because you know,
call someone to change the.
But you know, me up today,
right? But if the hotels are coming back like with that ferocity, they should be opening up. I know, like Hard Rock, they're not bringing their sales team back, their social catering team back. They opened up the corporate catering side, but the social catering, they had hired all these new people right before because of the guitar to do weddings and everything else. Mm-hmm. And nobody's been brought back. And I'm just like, oh.
So I feel sorry for them. Who's handling
social? They're not doing social at all. They're not doing any social at all. Nope. They're only doing, only working on corporate
stuff.
Okay,
so maybe we want to be that window washer then.
Well, exactly. But, you know, it's sad because I know somebody that moved in from out of town, bought a house here just to get that job.
And lost their Mercedes.
And then 5 months later, they're
there's always the BMW.
You know? And I mean, and these are good people. I mean, we did the opening for the Hard Rock guitar. Like, no, literally.
I didn't get to go to that one, so.
Oh, I know, but it was amazing. But, you know, I got to be part of the opening, and it was incredible. And then you think 6 weeks later or whatever it was, I forget, 2 months later, it just.
Just because he didn't bring me boys. How rude.
Oh, that's why we had the world pandemic.
Wow. I blame you. I
know, it's all about you. Okay. Did you see how she just did, created a whole world pandemic? And she goes, it's because you didn't bring me. That's why. That's why there's a whole pandemic.
Blame it on the window washer.
Look, are you patient zero or what?
I know. Tell me patient zero. She's looking at her. She's like, I'm the prettiest patient zero you've ever seen.
I may feel that inside, but Tyler,
yeah, I just happened to be in Wuhan in January. Like,
I love to see people smile.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
So I'm good with the dental displays today.
Do you have
I provided?
So, because you guys are on that the tourism, do you see people like booking bigger trips than ever? Like I've noticed that a lot of people are so badly wanting to get out of town that they're just like, that they're doing it bigger. Like, no, not like, so brides are not, so I'll break it down into brides. So my brides are coming to do this wedding, but now they're reducing their guest count, but because they can want to do more per guest, a bigger experience. And then I've heard that from a lot of people that are, you know, creating plans, that are starting to plan for the future, that they're not just going to go to Italy. Oh, no, they're going to eat their way through Italy. And they've got stops all the way. And you know, they're going to. Sorry, Brooke. But you know, I mean, that they're taking it to the next level. You know, they don't want to do the big bus tour. They want to do the private travel.
Yeah, the Mercedes,
because,
the Mercedes.
You know,
I want the Mercedes.
Geez, I'm
not I have a jet from Rome to Paris.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, you have a client who just booked a private jet. Yeah.
From here to Paris?
You had me at private. And then you
said,
no.
I was like, holy crap.
Where are they going? Miami? Too?
No.
That's going to be a nice short film. Patient zero on a private jet? What? Okay, somebody turn this training off.
No, I'm letting you run. This is awesome.
It is too hot out.
I cannot wait to watch the playback on this.
Boys is a gas. Does it come with a dryer? I have a hat. You know. Let me know. I can do a little quick break.
Oh my God. I mean,
that is hysterical.
He's considering, huh?
Brooks,
like someone just pulled the cord and wound her up today.
I know. I swear. Oh my God. I saw her this morning at 7 o'clock this morning, and she was not this chipper.
Rough night. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Well, guys, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for staying on After the Veil. And thank you for all of your insight. So if people want to get a hold of you, how would they do that? What's your email?
m.mcgee@diamondmeetings.com.
Diamondmeetings.com. And for Roberto?
It's r.cosentino@diamondmeetings.com.
That's where I get the Mercedes from.
Right, exactly. Yes. And your website, www.diamondmeetings.com.
On the website, you find the emails and phone numbers.
So, if you're a bride out there, get them involved with your room blocks. I guarantee you it will save you a mountain of trouble. But, get me involved first, and then I will get them involved with your room block. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being on, and time to say bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.